Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Sunday, the second day of January, year of our Lord, 2011. I need to get used to saying that, don't I? Year of our Lord, 2011. This is the first Sunday in January, the first Sunday of the year, the second day of the year. And it's good to be here. It is very good to be here. We're having a just crisp, cool, sunny day here deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks, about the kind of weather one would expect the first week of January. As recently as Friday, the 31st of December, it was in the mid-60s here in the Ozarks, and I took out my Vulcan Nomad motorcycle for a very nice ride, got about 50 miles in or so. My lovely wife was a little bit under the weather with a head cold, so she was unable to join me. I'm looking forward to a great year here at Republic Broadcasting. We have a guest the first hour. The second hour, we'll open up the lines for your calls. I'd like to hear from you the second hour what your comments might be regarding guests for the year 2011, topics to be discussed, things of that nature. The first hour, we've got Lucas scheduled. I don't know if he's called in yet or not. I think I got a prompt from my engineer is telling me that he is on board and in the green room waiting. Lucas will be giving us some updates on his research. He and I have become a regular correspondents by telephone and email, mostly by telephone, observing and watching these events as they unfold, these events being bizarre weather-related events, earthquakes, 1,000 birds dropping out of the sky, things of that nature. Lucas is quite the researcher, and I have a lot of respect for his work, and it'll be a good hour. And when we come back from the first break, we'll bring Lucas on board out of the green room, and we'll go from there. Stay tuned. Be right back. J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the second day of January, and the year is 2011. It is 2011. I need to keep saying that so I will remember it. I know frequently I don't write that many checks, but usually the first couple of weeks of January I will almost always write checks with the previous year's year instead of the current year. Our special guest today is Lucas. Lucas has done some magnificent research. He is the producer of an excellent DVD, the title of which is The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind. I was just driving past some petroglyphs yesterday, and I have not been back to these petroglyphs since learning about the spiral symbolism in these petroglyphs all around the planet. They are located in a very high spot in Missouri, in a state park, and it'll be a summer, a day trip to run over there. It's about 50 miles one way to get there, and I'll be making a day trip there to inspect those petroglyphs with a new eye, looking for the spiral images. Anyway, Lucas, are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for having me on, and Happy New Year, John.
Well, Happy New Year to you, sir. You sent me a note about the we talked about the 1,000 blackbirds dropping out of the sky in Arkansas. I understand they're going to be doing some work on these birds, autopsy-type, forensic-type research, try to figure out what happened to these birds. Have you heard anything more?
Yeah, actually, it's the top story on CNN right now. It's
really?
The title is When Birds Fall from the Sky. Yeah, basically over 1,000, up to 2,000 blackbirds just miraculously died in midair and fell to the ground New Year's Eve night around 11 p.m. And that's not the only weird thing that's been happening. There was just an earthquake just a few minutes ago in Chile, a 7.1. That just happened literally 10-15 minutes ago.
A 7.1, what was the location?
down in Chile.
Oh, okay, Chile. All right. You know, this reminds me, Lucas, I'm sure you recall, the first 90 days, the first 3 months of 2010, I was referring to the earthquake of the week. Because it seemed like every week, almost like clockwork, every week, the first 3 months of 2010, we had a large earthquake, frequently a damaging, dangerous, deadly earthquake. Do you recall that, the first 3 months of last year?
Oh, yeah. Not only that, it was also fireball season, too. In January, there were lots of fireballs and sonic booms witnessed around the world. But what's interesting is we had the 7.1 in Chile today. Yesterday, there was a 7.0 in Argentina. 3 days ago, there was a 6.6 in Vanuatu. There was, the day before that, a 6.3 in the Fiji. So, I mean, these earthquakes, and remember, they've downgraded the earthquake scale. They changed that all around so that a 6 is actually what used to be known as a 7.
That's correct. So, well, I refer to Talk Radio, Lucas, as a classroom with a revolving door. We've always got new students, so I need to tell this story once again. The Richter scale was developed by Charles F. Richter, the seismologist. Upon his death in 1984, within a year of his death, in that time frame, 84-85, the Richter scale was downgraded by one full numerical value. And keeping in mind, this scale doubles the, for every one-tenth of a point, you go from a 5 to a 5.1, that doubles the intensity of the earthquake. So when you downgrade by one full number value, that's 1,000%, not 100%. That's 1,000% difference in the magnitude of the earthquake, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, imagine the 7.1 is actually an 8.1 that just happened down in Chile. And, you know, Arkansas, there's a lot of weird things. Not only did those birds fall out of the sky, but the same day, earlier in the day, hundreds of thousands of dead fish washed up in the Arkansas River. So, well, there's something weird.
There
weird
is,
going on.
And it reminds me, there's an excellent book. It's a novel. However, the novel has a lot of scientific information in it. The title of the novel is 8.4. That's the number, 8.4. And it has to do with a major earthquake on the New Madrid seismic zone, which, of course, is my backyard here in Missouri. And I've read the novel twice, most recently within the last year. These precursors, these are the things we look for, is unexplained strange animal behavior, the fish dying for no apparent reason, releases of sulfur gas, which, by the way, we're having in St. Louis County, Missouri, as we speak, all of which are regarded as precursors to major earthquakes. These phenomena have been observed for centuries as being precursors to earthquakes, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. Not only that, with the whole Mississippi River there, there's going to be a lot of liquefaction with all those cities along the Mississippi. You know, basically the ground and the water, when the ground starts shaking, the water infiltrates the ground real fast and basically turns the surrounding areas into mud.
Well, here's my understanding of that. A lot of, I'll go to my hometown, St. Louis, Missouri, because I know it very well. A lot of infrastructure, roads, homes, businesses, hospitals, schools, are built on what was and is old river bottom. It's not really solid ground to begin with. That's the ground that's most at risk for liquefaction, is old river bottom that's dried out and has been dry ground for, well, maybe a couple of centuries. It doesn't change the fact that it's old river bottom. And that particular kind of dirt is really tremendously at risk of turning to jello, basically, when there's a big shake.
Yeah, and also the little grains of dirt are round from being washed in the water, so it's kind of like a quicksand effect. The reason why quicksand sucks people down is because the grains are very round, and you basically roll down like ball bearings. And that's exactly how quicksand works, and that's what happens when these earthquakes happen along rivers like the Mississippi.
Yes, yes. The two large cities that are most at risk from New Madrid are Memphis and St. Louis. There's more to it that a lot of people don't understand. If you look at a map showing the pipelines bringing natural gas, petroleum products from Texas to the northeast, you'll see these welded steel pipes. Typically, they're 20-inch diameter welded steel pipes go underneath the Mississippi River on top of the New Madrid seismic zone. And I'll guarantee you, Lucas, 20-inch welded steel pipe is not designed to wave back and forth like a child's slinky.
Oh, no. That we've put everywhere, gas and water lines, I mean, all that stuff is going to snap.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it took decades to put in place the infrastructure that keeps, you know, our world working normally. Pipelines, gas lines, water lines, fiber optic cable, telephone cable, electric lines, and so forth. Decades to build these. And it only takes moments to break it and destroy it and damage it beyond repair.
Well, back to these birds falling out of the sky. Now, they were only found in like a 1 mile square area. So that really cuts out a poisoning of any type. They were probably flew through a poison gas cloud somehow and suffocated in midair because they fell to the ground dead.
That's what makes the most sense. There was one of these scientists or officials speculating that they flew into a hailstorm, and the hail beat them to death.
Yeah, did you hear what one of the other scientists said? That they were scared to death by fireworks.
Oh, come on.
I know.
You may convince a kindergartner of that, but you're not going to convince any adult I know of that.
Well, I'm sure there's a segment of the population who say, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I was just reading a story on Republic Broadcasting's website about how sodium fluoride in drinking water reduces IQ. Unfortunately, that's very true, and I've known that for a number of years. So we got a lot of things to deal with here, don't we, Lucas?
Oh, my goodness. It's like somebody opened up the zipper, you know, and let the floodgates open up.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff going on in Arkansas. And then all the earthquakes. Now, what's interesting is, okay, this fish kill happened. 60 miles east of that is Guy, Arkansas, where all these earthquakes have been happening, consistent earthquakes that are really freaking the local people out.
Right.
And then only 30 miles south of that is where all the birds died. Now, keep in mind, these are as the crow flies. You know, if you take the highway,
right,
it's going to take longer. But, it's all in the same vicinity.
Right. That part, not far from there, going, I have to look on a map of Arkansas. I apologize. But this location, there is a state park called Carpet Rock State Park that is mentioned in the book done by Jonathan Gray, the archaeologist. There was what appears to be a prehistoric steel-reinforced concrete dam that's been uncovered by some rocks breaking loose. And I intend to go down there. Hopefully this year it'll be a weekend trip with a magnet and some camera equipment and some tape, measuring tapes, and see what I can find out down there. But that area of central Arkansas, up until this past year, was known to be very seismically neutral and not have any earthquakes, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, and think about this. I mean, they got all the hot springs in the area, plus one of the only places on Earth to find diamonds, especially in the United States, is in Diamond Crater State Park in Arkansas. And how do diamonds get up to the surface? They ride the lava up. So,
my goodness.
Something created those diamonds.
Absolutely. Well, we got a break coming up. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
John Moore is taking your telephone calls right now on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Pick up the phone and join in the conversation. Call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And thanks for listening to RBN.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the second day of January, year of our Lord, 2011. Who would believe it? Our special guest today is Lucas. He is the producer of the excellent video titled The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind, available at his website, World Wide Web, rabbithole2.com. That's rabbithole2.com, and it's a two-disc set, very professionally done. Lucas, what's the cost of your...
It's $32 with shipping included.
Shipping included for $32. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe some of the best $32 you've ever spent. He's put together some very important pieces of the puzzle here. So original, unique research, connecting the dots. Dots were right in front of us in the form of these petroglyphs that have been around forever, and making sense of them in a way nobody else has made sense of them. Lucas, has there been any talk about a sulfur discharge where those birds fell dead?
No, I haven't seen anything, but as we were on break, I was reading another story. Apparently, the day before, 10,000 birds fell out of the sky in South America dead.
Really?
So, yeah, this is, something's going on, something crazy. Well, something's unzipping.
Something's very crazy is going on. I recall that big earthquake they had in China. Just days before that, there was a mass immigration or migration, I guess you'd say, of frogs. Frogs everywhere. Do you remember that?
I remember catching something about it. I didn't.
There was photographs published of these streets and sidewalks covered with frogs. And then in a couple of days after that, they had this massive destructive earthquake that killed so many tens of thousands of people in China.
Yeah, that's almost biblical. I mean, when you think about the frogs coming in the Bible and things like that.
And the book I mentioned earlier, the 8.4, there was similar events with frogs and rats and strange and bizarre animal behavior. That's one of the things, and ladies and gentlemen, the reason we're talking about this, if you see... in where you live, that could be, it's not necessarily, but it could be a precursor to a major earthquake, couldn't it, Lucas?
Oh, yeah. Animals use parts of their brains that we no longer use anymore. It puts them more in touch with their surroundings and nature. That's why they have these, you know, you can clearly see in different earthquake videos, dogs, exiting the building right before the earthquake hits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen that myself. I've seen that myself. Let's open up the lines here if anybody has a question for Lucas. It's 800-313-9443. Okay, and I got my Skype caller board up here. We're having some technical difficulties today, Lucas. Our normal Skype connection is not functioning properly, so I'm on a telephone line, which normally I'm on Skype. But as the old saying goes, the show must go on. Lucas, what's your current project?
I was going to say, I suspect we're going to be, at one point in time, we're going to be all the way down to shortwave radio again.
Oh, but, no.
current project, I'm just working on trying to put together all these pieces into something coherent. There's so much going on right now. It's quite the barrage to keep track of it all. It's almost like... You know, there's so many different aspects to this that,
right.
Goodness, everything that's happening. I mean, all these animal die-offs and things going on in Arkansas. I've been mainly researching, Google Earth is a wealth of information. Up until recently, we really didn't have the ability for each individual person like myself to just look at the planet from all different aspects. And what I was looking at recently is around that area in Arkansas where all these earthquakes are happening, and it looks to me like there was an ancient flow there. If you look at the United States from space, you can see that there was some kind of ancient flow that happened throughout that region.
When you say flow, earlier you were talking about a caldera. Is that different than the flow?
Well, it looks like a good portion of it comes from that region. Now, what you can see when you look at that area through Google Earth is it looks like that whole area is one big caldera, and
okay.
That whether it be mud or lava flowed from there long, long time ago, maybe millions of years ago. And you can also see that the Mississippi used to be really wide a long time ago. It used to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've flown over the Mississippi in low-flying aircraft, 4,000 or 5,000 feet high, and it's obvious where the river used to be. It's real obvious where the river used to be. It's also obvious that a lot of human beings have built homes and cities where the river used to be.
Yeah.
And I doubt that it was millions of years ago. It may have only been 3,600 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, we're in some interesting times, that's for sure. So much going on, and like I said, so many things to keep track of. It's almost too much in some ways.
Well, it is, and you need to focus on what's important and keep your priorities straight. And I remind people about this all the time when it comes to preparedness. Make a list of priorities and stick to them. Break coming up. Stay tuned. Call number is 800-313-9443. J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the second day of January, year of our Lord, 2011. Lucas, on the break, I was looking up where this carpet rock is. It's at Petit Jean State Park, which is, oh, as the crow flies, only 50 miles or so from Guy, Arkansas, if that. I'd have to look at the scale here of this map. 25. Yeah, I would say less than 50 miles. It appears to be a prehistoric dam, steel reinforced concrete, to some of the people who observed it. And I think it was you pointing out to me the prehistoric canals down in Louisiana, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. So there's definitely signs of ancient life between those Bosnian pyramids and all the new stuff they're finding. You know, I really think they need to stop teaching kids the history that's not true. I mean, most of the stuff you learn in school turns out not to be true once you...
Well, and what we learn as children becomes our knowledge as adults, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, they just turned me on to the Christian Science Museum up in Boston, Massachusetts. On the side of it, they have a giant pyramid with a big spiral at the top.
Really?
I thought was interesting. Yeah, and footprints leading into the spiral. I thought that was pretty interesting. It's can see that on Google Earth through the street view. That's one good thing about Google Earth. I mean, you can literally check out any building, anything on this in America through Google Earth. You can go down to the street level and look around and see the different architecture and the way things are built.
Well, I've never done that. I'm typically looking at the topography and roads. I've never got down to the street level. That would be fascinating. And so they have views of buildings from the front that you can see on Google Earth?
Oh yeah, basically Google has taken thousands of cameramen and driven all the streets of America pretty much and imaged everywhere. So you can go down, I could probably go to almost to the front door of your house and see what it looks like. You know, it's just everything. In fact, I am actually on Google Earth out working on my van when they drove by and took the picture of the house. I mean, I'm out working on my van, so.
How do you know it was them?
Because it's the whole street view section of Google Earth. Basically, they've mapped out all the streets with video cameras. They had cars.
No. I mean, how do you know that was Google Earth driving by at that moment?
Well, no, I didn't know until I actually looked at it. I looked at my house on Google Earth, and I was like, "Hey, there I am, right there." I worked.
Oh, okay. So you didn't know at the moment. In hindsight,
no.
You realized that was what was going on.
Yeah, I had no idea that
you appear. You appear in the actual. You appear in the actual photograph, then, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How bizarre is that?
Yeah, right. To look down and to look at your house and say, "Hey, look, I'm right there." And
What was the turnaround time between that photograph being taken and being posted on Google Earth?
Well, it had to happen sometime in between 2008 and 2010, because I first noticed it probably around the beginning of 2010. So,
We really don't know what the turnaround time then, do we?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's fascinating. This technology is absolutely fascinating. I think that some of these really draconian dictatorships like China are very fearful of this kind of technology, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They don't want the Internet getting out of hand in China, that's for sure. I think they've got one mission in China, and that's to expand and take over the rest of the world, it seems.
Right, right. Yeah, my friend Dr. Deagle, he's convinced that the upper management of the Chinese communists, all they want is condos in Florida and American Express gold cards. I'm not so sure that's their complete agenda, though.
Yeah, some people are living very high on the hog, while the majority of Chinese people are living off of a few cents a day.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Well, this is the time of year people make predictions about what will be happening in the next 12 months. Would you care to share any with us, Lucas?
Well, I think we're going to see more and more events like this, at least for the first couple months of the year. It might die off. It seems like whatever is affecting the gravity of the planet happens around the end of the year and the beginning of the year, and it kind of slows down as the year progresses and then picks back up in November.
Well, that was certainly what we observed this past year in 2010. I was quite relieved, quite frankly, when the earthquakes finally stopped, and these dangerous, deadly earthquakes finally stopped. I guess it was sometime late in March, or maybe early April, somewhere along in there. They finally tapered off to a normal, somewhat normal level of earthquakes, although if you look at the numbers and the severity of typically the USGS posts earthquakes in red that are 5.0 and larger, and I've been observing a dramatic increase in those numbers of 5.0 and larger, haven't you?
Oh, goodness, yeah. In fact, there was just another 5.0 off of the coast of Chile 15 minutes ago. So, yeah, the 5.0s and largers are happening tremendously around the world.
Yeah, that list of earthquakes you just listed off there at the beginning of the show, it sounded like a major earthquake every 2 or 3 days for the past 8 or 9 days.
Yeah, it seems like January is between Christmas and now is the peak time for fireball activity, sonic booms, earthquakes, and all these sinkholes opening up too. That's another thing. I mean, I think that there's relevance there when the ancients talk about the pits of hell, and then you think about sinkholes. You know, to them it was the gates of hell opening up.
Well, I could see where people would characterize it that way. That'd be pretty scary to have what you thought was a solid street in the middle of your town suddenly open up to a 100-foot-wide hole, 100 feet or 200 feet deep. That would be pretty scary.
Yeah, there's been a tremendous upswing in sinkholes. You can verify a lot of this stuff by going to Google Trends. Go to Google and type in, and they have a service where you can look at the trending keyword searches, and you can find that there's been a lot more news stories about sinkholes and a lot. In fact, Florida is having to change its insurance regulations specifically to deal with sinkholes.
Oh, okay. I see we got some calls in here. I didn't have my call board up. Cliff from Arkansas. Go ahead, Cliff.
Are you there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. You're talking about them birds dropping out of the sky. That was at BB, and BB is about 30 miles east of Conway, or a guy. Guy is close to Conway.
Right.
And I said that they were probably hit by high altitude hail. Now, I've lived around here all my life, and I ain't never seen a blackbird or a starling fly above 500-600 feet.
Okay.
I mean, they got wings, they could, they wanted to, but I've never seen it.
All right.
Now, those earthquakes, they weren't happening before they started drilling for that gas down around Guy. And my son lives over at Romance, which is about 15 miles, 20 miles east of Guy.
I see it there, yeah. Just near and just
he
east
says,
of
he
west
said
of Searcy.
That, the wells around there, from them fracking those gas wells, the people can't even use the water anymore.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
And a friend of his took him down a little stream down there below his house, and it was a calm day. And he said, look here. He said, I want to show you something. So he struck a match and threw it down in the water, and it made a little puff and started blowing. And you could see bubbles coming up out of the ground.
Oh, no.
So
that's terrible.
It's due to fracking those wells, because before they started doing that, they weren't having any problem at all.
Right, right. Well, keep track of that there, Cliff, and if it changes, let us know.
Well, man, they're having earthquakes down here just like sometimes five and six a day, you know, anywhere from one to 2.5.
Right, right.
I mean, you can look on, I go to Steve Quayle's site and scroll down and click on a New Madrid fault, and it just pops up right away.
Right,
and man, they're having them just 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, sometimes 10 or 12 a day.
Oh, my goodness. That'd be pretty scary, wouldn't it?
Well, it don't bother me. I'm up north of him up in the hills up here around Melbourne. But,
right.
You know, for them down around there, yeah, if I still lived down there, it'd be scary.
But it would be.
As far as them birds, you know, it's reaching to think for them to even say that they were hit by high-altitude hail.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
No, that's really reaching. Cause like
that's
I
a
say,
stretch, isn't
I
it?
Mean, you've seen blackbirds and starlings coming. You ever seen one fly over 500 or 600 foot high?
Not really. No, now that I think about it, no, I never have. No.
Yeah, they're not going to fly up there where the cold weather is.
What did he say? I couldn't hear him.
Yeah, they're not going to fly up in those colder regions where the temperatures are down in the 30s. They're going to fly at lower levels.
No, they're not. They're not going to get up that high. And I don't know. I mean, the Fish and Game Commission, the Game and Fish Commission, they know that. They're just talking stuff to, you know,
try to satisfy people's curiosity.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
But you know, it's just propaganda, like most of everything else.
Okay, well, Cliff, we appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. We got another call here, Lucas. A caller from New York who prefers to be anonymous. Go ahead, Mr. Anonymous or Ms. Anonymous.
Oh, no. This was Question from New York. That's supposed to be the name, okay?
Question from New York.
Yeah. Hey, John.
Okay.
You were talking about predictions and predictions for the coming year. I'm wondering if we can think about what predictions came true last year and which ones didn't. I can think of a few off the top of my head. One service was predicting that there would be an increase of news and events, you know, huge increase, progressive increase throughout the year, and I think we saw that. You were commenting on that earlier. And that there would be some sort of a UFO disclosure. This is Cliff High's report.
Right.
They did mention something like that. Well, of course, we got the guy from the military talking about the UFOs at nuclear sites,
right.
Things like that. And I think there were probably some others as well. Do you have any comments on those particulars? And also, I haven't heard anything related to like the Norway spiral or the Australian type strange spirals that we're seeing.
Well,
for quite a while.
I know. Lucas has probably paid more attention to these spirals than I have, but they were a splash in the news for 3 to 5 days and then pretty much gone. Any comments on that, Lucas?
Well, they did do a, you know, I'm fairly, you know, good at seeing how the trends of Google go. And usually when something happens, you can go to Google Images and type in the word, and you'll pull up the image on it right away. Well, when that Norway spiral happened, it wasn't but months before you could find pictures of that thing without having to look, go through page after page after page. You had all these people photographed it, so you could easily... you know, see that they were doing something to keep that down.
Oh, yeah.
And, there's a big significance to the spiral. That's why I mentioned that picture of the Christian Science Museum having a giant pyramid with a spiral on the top of it. You know, what else is interesting, if you look at a dollar bill, look at the eye inside the dollar bill with a magnifying glass, and you'll notice that the pupil is not a normal pupil. It's a spiral, just like the Norway spiral.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll have to get out my magnifying glass and check that out.
Wow, so this spiral could actually be, in a sense, that eye or a representation of it. Very strange.
Yeah, I think it's all tied together. The spiral has something to do with probably the extraterrestrials who are probably doing some sort of salvage mission before the planet comes by and screws everything up.
Possibly so. Okay, anything else, caller from New York?
Well, I'll let you guys think if you see any other predictions that have come true and you want to talk about that. One was that there would be a severe earthquake in California in either April, May last year or April, May this year. That was a Thus Saith the Lord by Deagle. And do you recall that, John?
Well, I don't. Deagle says so much, it's hard to recall everything the man says.
Yeah,
I mean,
he had
laryngitis a week and a half ago, and it hardly slowed him down. God bless him. I mean, what a brain! What a magnificent brain Dr. Deagle has. But he's always talking about the possibilities of severe earthquakes in Southern California, which that's almost like predicting the sun's going to come up, predicting a major earthquake in Southern California. It certainly is a matter of when, not a matter of if.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, and was there anything regarding the split of Jerusalem? I thought they were having a meeting in October, related to that. Do you recall that? And
well, I know the Jews appear to be pretty intent on taking total control of Jerusalem, best I can tell. And all the preparation has been done to reinstitute the ancient Jewish ceremonies with sacrificing of the red calf and so forth, and all the instruments and robes and so forth that they need to recommence what they were doing 2,000 years ago. So I can only assume it's a matter of time before they recommence their ancient traditions. And of course, they're going to want to do it in one place and one place only. That's on the Temple Mount. There's no other place they will choose to do that, and it will cause great problems with the Muslims, because they consider it their holy site as well. I don't know if it can be worked out. I think the Catholics may try to step in there as mediators, because the Catholics believe they'll be the mother church for everybody. That seems to be where they believe this is all headed. It'll be an fascinating thing to see how it plays out, won't it, gentlemen?
Sure. Thanks, John.
Well, the Catholics too are definitely going down this extraterrestrial road too. I mean, they've built all these telescopes. The Pope has made various comments about ETs and that sort of thing. So it's interesting to see where this all goes.
Well, it is, and we got another caller on hold. We'll get to that caller after we've asked the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's time for us to face the truth with John Moore. Now, if you want to talk to John live on the air, call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 2nd of January. We're going to run out of time here pretty quick for this hour. We'll be starting up the second hour, so you callers hold on, and we'll get to you after the top of the hour break. Lucas, this first hour has kind of flown by here on us, hasn't it?
Yeah, it kind of zips by, that's for sure.
Well, I only asked you to stay with us an hour. Do you want to hang in here longer?
Sure, I got time, it doesn't matter.
Okay, well, I want to make sure you got the time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Lucas is the producer of the excellent DVD, The Destroyer Star. That's the title of it, The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind. A lot of evidence pulled from a lot of mainstream sources. You know, sort of what you remind me, Lucas, somewhat of Velikovsky. A lot of what Velikovsky did was pull together mainstream information from other sources and put them together in a fashion that nobody had done before. And he was mercilessly hammered for what he had done, which was little more than take the verified, authentic work of other archaeologists and put it together in a different fashion, connecting the dots in a different manner. And you've certainly done that here with your research on these petroglyphs from all around the planet. There's no doubt that these petroglyphs exist, and there's also no doubt, thanks to your research, that many hundreds of them have very similar symbology, whether it's North America, South America, Africa, Asia, Europe. They all contain the same symbology, don't they?
Yeah, that spiral, and that's... Not only the spiral, but also like a kind of a devilish horned creature, which seems to be prevalent all across the board. So these people must have seen the same thing approximately the same time.
Absolutely. And it was really important, to make these petroglyphs. They didn't have a cordless hammer drill with steel chisels. They had... basically, rocks and sharp rocks to make these impressions with, and it was time-consuming hard to do. Time-consuming, hard to do, and would take away from other things which might be more important, like finding food, harvesting food, building shelter, things that Stone Age peoples spend a lot of time on, don't they?
Oh, yeah, many of these petroglyphs, you can guarantee they left blisters on people's hands making them because how deep they are carved into the granite and some of these hard stones. You know, it had to have some kind of significant meaning on their life for them to spend that much time and effort when they would probably be better off out trying to gather food. To me, it seems like a bunch of people ran to the caves, and while they were trapped in those caves for a few days, they tried to describe what they saw.
Absolutely. Let's try to get one more call in here before the top of the hour, and if we run over, we run over. Tom from Georgia.
Oh, hello.
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. Just a couple questions and a comment, and I'll quickly mention that spiral. I wasn't going to say anything about that, but that spiral, even back then, when you talk about the sons of God, daughters of men, you're going to find that those portals, the same one in Norway, are portals to the dimensional area where the demons come out of. That's
okay.
What it is. All right. They're coming through those portals, one in Australia, one in Norway, and at the same time that that Obama was in Norway, in Copenhagen, when they had the World Government Conference. It was no global warming at all. Those demons, those fallen angels, if you will, of the New Testament, they're coming back, and
hold
they're
on.
Coming through those
Tom,
portals.
Hold on. We got a break. Everybody stay tuned.
Okay.
We got the top of the hour break. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the second day of January, year of our Lord, 2011. We have a special guest today, Lucas. Lucas is the producer of the excellent DVD titled The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind, available at his website, World Wide Web, rabbitholenumeral2.com, World Wide Web, rabbitholenumeral2.com. And Lucas, you've got copies in stock and ready to ship, don't you?
Yes, sir.
All right, way to go. We had some interesting comments before the break there from Tom in Georgia regarding the true nature of these spirals. You still there, Tom?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Now, I'd like to know the source of your information that these spirals are or portals or interdimensional portals. This is fascinating stuff.
I don't know where to start. I mean, I've been doing research on this in detail for a long time.
Well, we need the Reader's Digest version. Okay.
Everything, there's no exception. Everything going on today is linked, every bit of it. There is no conspiracy theories. There is only one conspiracy, like a octopus with one head and eight arms. Okay, all this could be confirmed. I mean, it's slam dunk.
Okay.
All right, now, you've got HAARP, you've got Project Bluebeam, and one of your callers very astutely mentioned about disclosure. That's very important.
Right.
Disclosure, it has to do with the New Age movement, Benjamin Cream, Maitreya, all that kind of sort of thing. And disclosure, and they will bring everybody together. It will be an Independence Day kind of scenario. There are no aliens. They don't exist. But
hold on, Tom. Hold on. We need a break here. Stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back. Back, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the second day of January. I need to remind all of you that Freeze Dry Guy does have two warehouses full of the best, highest quality freeze-dried food in stock, ready for delivery. If you were to go to the Mountain House website, and I would urge you to do so, you'll find that you can no longer buy directly from Mountain House. They don't have enough food to take care of selling food directly to the public, number 10 cans. You can buy the little packets, which are incredibly expensive. But no number 10 cans directly from Mountain House. They're taking care of their major distributors like Freeze Dry Guy. And he does have a full inventory ready to take care of your needs. His website, of course, is freezedryguy.com, and his toll-free number is 866-404-3663. I say again, 866-404-3663. And Tom, are you still there, sir?
I'm here.
We need to kind of summarize this and move on. You know, but if you can give us a quick 30-second summary so we can move on, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. My question was about HAARP and Bluebeam, but disclosure, they're going to use Bluebeam to cover it up, to cover up a fake rapture. They're going to make Christians feel like we've been lied to. So intermix HAARP, the chemtrails, which is making a panoramic view of the sky. It's almost going to be like a TV screen. HAARP, the satellites, is going to be a light show, okay?
Okay.
And Bluebeam will come into this. The worship that they do is not the sun, it's Saturn. Saturn, they're hiding, okay? Now, the whole idea all along was to destroy the Catholic Church and the doctrine. And once you destroy the Catholic Church doctrine, all the other religions will fall in line and we'll move. Islam is not the enemy. Islam is not the problem. These people going through the churches saying Islam is the enemy, they are Jesuits, and they are lying. It is the New Age movement. It's called a peace, Charter for Compassion, a religion of peace. It's a lie.
Okay.
It is the religion of the Antichrist, and they're going to destroy the Catholic Church and move into one religion that will bring all of them together, because that's what the Catholic Church is letting this information out. That's why the Muslims are saying how they're stoning. So everybody dislikes what they're doing, the word faith movement, all that stuff. One religion, and that's what's coming after disclosure.
Okay. And that'll be the false religion, won't it?
Yep, that's it.
Okay. Well, we appreciate the call, Tom. Thank you, sir. Lucas, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, we get some fascinating information here on talk radio, don't we?
Yeah, just like a couple minutes ago. Now, there's explosions being reported from the Iceland volcano. I refuse to try and pronounce that word because I don't know how to pronounce
alphabet,
it.
Alphabet, yeah. The alphabet volcano, yeah. Deagle does a pretty good job of pronouncing it. Of course, he's used to pronouncing these convoluted Latin names to begin with. So, So what's going on? The Iceland volcano is blowing its top?
Well, apparently there's reports on Twitter of explosions being heard from there, so don't know the full story yet. But
well, it was just about a year ago this time that commercial airlines were shut down all over Europe for several weeks, weren't they? Because of that same volcano.
Yeah, and then there's another one, too, next to it, Katla, which is much bigger than that one.
Katla, that's the dangerous one. We got some callers on hold here. Let's see, we lost this one. Eleanor in Ontario. Go ahead, Eleanor.
Hi, John. I just wanted to point something very interesting out, relevant to Planet X, perhaps.
Yes.
Bill Gates Global Seed Vault on Svalbard Island.
Right. Norway.
It's only located about 250 feet above the water.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting.
It is. You're right.
It means they're not too worried about flooding.
Well, there are several parts to that. First of all, we don't know how well they're able to seal the door and keep the water out, do we?
Well, if the flood is going to stay put, it would take a pretty darn fine seal, and then it would be hard to get out afterwards.
Well, you're right. The powers that be, and of course this is not the only seed vault. There's multiple seed vaults. In fact, most countries maintain some form of seed vault. It may not be as nice as what's up in Norway. But the powers that be, Bill Gates included, they have knowledge that us normal barefoot peasants don't have access to in terms of what these oceans are going to do, how bad they're going to get, and where they're going to be bad. And they chose that site and that location, obviously, because they thought it was a safe one, didn't they?
Oh, indeed.
Yes, yes. Well, 200 feet above sea level is apparently high enough at that latitude, and they're far north. Maybe that's just exactly where they need to be.
Yes, indeed. Just wanted to point that out.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And we don't even know that they know what's going on. I personally, my belief is that even the most well-educated people on this and the scientists all working together still only have partial clues to what's really going to happen.
Well, you're right. I refer to what they're doing, Lucas, as educated guesses. There's lots of evidence in the form of fossils and written records and so forth from the last two cycles of the 10th planet going past us. Evidence in the form of seashells in places. In your backyard, for example, in Texas, you've got seashells, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And how far from the ocean?
I am a couple hundred miles, about 500 feet above sea level.
But, 500 feet above the current sea level. And 200 miles or so from the Gulf of Mexico, the ocean, and there are seashells in your backyard.
I've heard of people finding them up to 5,000 feet up in the Colorado region, so you never know how often this event happens. It seems like if you look at the ice core data, that the Earth went along normally for millions of years, and then all of a sudden something came into the picture and changed the Earth and started to make this cyclical event that happened every so many years.
Right. Well, there's lots of evidence that fairly recently things were much, much different. Going back to the Pyrrhus Re map that Christopher Columbus had a copy of when he was sailing the Ocean Blue in 1492, showing the Antarctic with no ice, which can only been there are only two ways that could have been done. Either the map was made when there was no ice on the Antarctic, or the people who made it more than 500 years ago had the kind of technology we've only recently acquired, which is the ability to see through the ice a mile thick and tell where the dirt stops and the water begins.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that just one way to kind of prove it in anybody's mind that we had technology a long time ago is the fact that the Great Pyramid has 2.2 million blocks in it. Well, you can't map that out on papyrus. You can't map that. That's got to be, with all those elaborate tunnel systems built through that certain pyramid, that's not something you could just start building and wing it as you go. That's got to be precisely planned. And how are you going to plot out 2.2 million blocks on paper? That had to be done with some sort of computer system or something in order for...
Well, there's a book written, I apologize for not having the title handy, a book written by a PhD whose PhD is in concrete. He's a PhD concrete scientist kind of guy. And his book documents his evidence that he presents that the Great Pyramid at Giza, those blocks are actually concrete blocks, poured in place concrete blocks.
And he makes not only that.
He makes a very convincing argument.
Well, yeah, I was just doing some follow-up research on that Bosnian pyramid you turned me on to, and that apparently is also poured concrete. All the blocks are made of concrete.
I didn't know the research had gotten along that far that quickly to determine that.
Yeah, the guys now found that it's concrete made from stones local to that area, and they found all kind of tunnels and different. What's weird about that is the lack of stuff, you know, human belongings and things like that. They haven't gotten down to that level yet. All they found is all of these concrete poured blocks.
I know that, but we don't know what happened in between those pyramids in Serbia, Bosnia being built, and now. Nothing like a mile-high wall of water to ruin your whole day, you know, and wipe out your civilization and wash it away. Most American cities, if crumbled to the ground, would take up, look at the World Trade Center, you know, those magnificent buildings, 100 feet tall, hundreds of feet tall, reduced to, what, a pile of rubble, 30 feet tall or so?
Oh, yeah, actually, one of the towers was 1,000, and the other was like 1,110, something like that. So, yeah, they were reduced down to just nothing but dust.
Right. So a mile-high wall of water, which is, there are records of that having happened, would reduce civilizations to just a layer in between a mountain of mud, except for the massive stone buildings. And when they built with stone, stone appears to be a permanent building material. Those objects remain under the oceans and in places right in front of us in plain sight. The pyramids in Serbia and Bosnia have been there obviously for many, many centuries, but the dirt has covered them up to the point where they just look like big hills, don't they?
Yeah, and in fact, it's amazing to look at from the helicopter view. You can clearly tell it's a pyramid, and I'm surprised that nobody's caught on to this before now all this time. I mean, it looks like a pyramid from the air, and surely enough, that it seems like at one point in time a big wave washed in there, and then it left 3-4 feet of sediment on the ground. And as
hold on, Lucas, hold on, everybody, stay tuned. We'll be back after the break.
Here's more of John Moore on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the second day of January, year of our Lord, 2011. 2011. Can you believe it, Lucas? It's 2011.
How time flies.
Where were we before the break?
Well, I was going to tell you, during the break, I sent you a couple emails, one with the picture of the Christian Science Museum pyramid spiral thing, and also the spiral inside of the eye of the dollar. I thought you might find that interesting.
Well, I can't do two things at once. I'll look at those when the show's over. We have a caller here on hold, a regular caller, John from Wisconsin. How you doing, John?
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to Lucas. Happy New Year to all the listeners out there. Talk about the Antarctic. I actually believe Atlantis is down there. They're doing secret digs down there. If you ever read the Antarctic...
Well, you know, John, McMurdo Bay, where our base is,
right?
There's between 3,000 and 4,000 people there at any given time. How many people does it take to count penguins and dig ice cores?
We said it in the past. John, if you read the Antarctic Treaty, the 1981, the environmental section, it says that you're not allowed to remove specimens and artifacts. Now, what did he talk about artifacts that you're not allowed to remove down there?
Well,
looked it up once.
It's uninhabited. How could there be any artifacts, right?
Yeah, well, you know, there's maps of Antarctica when it was a tropical place. And that's why I believe that there's cities buried down there. They're digging through down there and stuff,
yeah,
you know.
Well. I've never had any resolution, and I don't know, Lucas, if you looked into it, but New Schwabenland. In the 1930s, the Germans went down there and established a base called New Schwabenland. And Admiral Perry went down there following World War II. And I've never got a story, and I've been talking to Navy, various Navy veterans. I've never gotten any real clarification about what in the world happened to Admiral Perry when he went down there to New Schwabenland. And Lucas, have you ever heard about that?
No, I haven't, actually.
Okay. How about you, John?
No, I haven't, but this guy that came up here out of Wisconsin gave a lecture on Antarctica. He said that he knew people that were in Operation High Jump, and he said that the Nazis had underground tunnels. He says today they even have abandoned U-boats down there on underground tunnel, you know, underground bases and stuff.
So, we're not surprised.
How about if Atlantis is just a blanket word to cover all of pre-Ice Age civilization? There might have been several different major cities around the world, you know, so they have everybody running around trying to find the single city of Atlantis when it probably was a pre-civilization.
Right.
Sure. Yeah,
right.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, John, Happy New Year and Happy New Year, everybody, and we'll
let you
go. We'll talk to you later.
Right. Yep. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Well, your website, rabbithole2.com, kind of reminds me, it's real easy to go down rabbit trails here, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's a hard fall down. There's many different levels. You know, some are harder than others. You know, once you fall down and you put two and two together, it tends to be a little shocking sometimes, but, you know, it is.
Well,
what it
does. Our caller at the top of the hour was talking about how there are no ETs, that they're really interdimensional beings. And Deagle touches on that occasionally as well. And I'm not sure if there's much of a difference between interdimensional beings and entities or people who have the ability to time travel. Have you given much thought to that, Lucas?
Oh, yeah. I'm for a long time, I actually think that they could very well be from the dinosaur times. They just might be an advanced civilization that grew out of the dinosaur age that advanced, you know, that 65 million years more advanced than humans are.
That would be pretty phenomenal, looking at what was done just in the past century. I got a photograph on my wall here of an automobile built exactly 100 years ago. pretty primitive by today's standards, to say the least.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, now you can fit like 12 of them on the head of a pin.
Yeah. Well, that whole topic of time travel, I was talking to a scientist in Colorado. He might be listening. He's a client of mine. And apparently, laboratories, just routine laboratories, not even government laboratories, are now able to, on an experimental basis, bend time and change time within about a one cubic foot space. That's become almost a routine scientific experiment these days. And like I was telling him, if you can do it in one cubic foot, you can do it with a much larger space as well.
Oh, yeah, and think about, you know, the reason why humans were able to get smart is when we started eating meat more, our brains grew. Now, you had a lot of reptiles, you know, 65 million years ago that were strictly meat eaters. Why would preclude them from becoming super intelligent? You know, their brains would increase, too, and maybe, you know, a branch off of one of the dinosaurs became intelligent and is now what we call the reptiles of today. Who knows?
Well, there's a archaeologist named Michael Cremo, C-R-E-M-O, and his book has a photograph of a human footprint and a dinosaur footprint in the same rock, in the exact
that's
same
here
rock.
In Texas. I believe that's here in Texas.
Okay. Well, then there's no reason why what we regard as modern human beings could not have existed in those times. Break coming up. Lucas, hold on. Stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the second day of January. If you haven't been to my website, I encourage you to visit my website, thelibertyman.com. At my website, you'll find my best-selling DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. A great way to wake up people, help them to break through the paradigm of the matrix that we all live in, find out that the reality they think is true is absolutely a pack of lies. And our special guest today is Lucas, the producer of the very well-done DVD. I have a copy of it, and I've watched it, and I recommend it, The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind, available at his website, rabbithole2.com. Lucas, we got one of our regular callers here, one of my research associates, Sheldon, on hold here. Sheldon, how you doing?
Hello, John.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there may be one more dot connector with this spiral business. I just sent you and Lucas an email. On December 11th, the Catalina Sky Survey down here in Tucson located a spiral-shaped asteroid. I don't know if it means anything, but maybe it will for some of your listeners.
All right. Tell me, there was some snow in Arizona the other day. Did you get to see any of it? Okay.
Hello?
Sheldon?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some phone problems here. Did you see the snow the other day in Arizona?
Yeah, we went up and played in the snow yesterday on Mount Lemmon.
No, this was in a place where it normally doesn't snow.
Speaking of that, right now as we speak, it's snowing in Santa Clarita, California, 30 miles north of Los Angeles.
All right.
Well, John, keep in mind we do get snow down here around Tucson, but where was it unexpected to see it at?
One of those hot resort places. I don't remember which town it was, but it's a place that typically doesn't get any snow. It didn't last very long. It hit the ground and basically melted, but they don't get snow in this particular location in Arizona.
Wow. You know, as we've been doing this show, things have been happening like crazy. Mount Etna just erupted in Italy just a few minutes ago.
Well, we have a seismologist. He's now deceased. He was with the University of Missouri, St. Louis University, excuse me. He said to watch Mount Etna, and when Etna blows its top, that's when the New Madrid's going to cut loose. That's what he said 30 years ago. I've had students of his approach me about that. So things are popping. Things are coming.
Yeah, I mean, it all appears to be unzipping in the last couple of days, that's for sure.
It does. We need to move on here, Sheldon. Appreciate the update.
Have a good one, John.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And let's see, Howie in North Carolina. Go ahead, Howie.
Yes. Hello.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Hey. Hey, Lucas. How are you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, pretty good. I saw your presentation. I thought it was absolutely, it was great. I got to ask you a question. Let's see. Yeah. One second. Just one second. I'll pull this up. John, you're the ex-Green Beret, right?
I was in Special Forces, yes, sir.
Okay. You mentioned I watched your entire spiel about, and I believe I'm not mocking it, that you were a believer in the scriptures. Is that
right.
True?
That is true. Yep.
I am so happy to hear that. But yet you don't understand that these so-called aliens are dimensional. I mean, there's no such thing. I mean, these things are definitely what the Bible predicts, that says is in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. It's
right.
When, you know where I'm going.
Yes, sir.
So that we're going to have another infestation. What do you think about that, Lucas? Because I saw you, and you seem a little bit more liberal than the others. Not knocking you at all. I mean, I appreciate all good research.
Well, I look more at biblical scripture and things as more of history. It really does make sense when you start to look at it. And to me, I personally believe that the devil is nothing more than an object in space. You know, and this is the way it was interpreted back then. And it's, you know, things have been twisted. There are a lot of other ancient texts that talk about things that aren't as cryptic and as
hard to understand as the Bible and things like that. So, you know, there are other avenues and a lot of things like the Dead Sea Scrolls that weren't included in the Bible, obviously because they don't want to alarm the public of this. I mean, if the public would have known about this whole situation 1,000 years ago, imagine what society we'd live in today. I mean, it'd be a totally vastly different society, probably for the worst.
It would be, yep.
I totally agree. Yeah. One thing, too, though, I have read a lot of other texts, and it seems to me that Jesuits and people of the ancient days, about 2,000, even 3,000 years ago, or 4,000 when Abraham walked the earth, you know, beginning of Abraham, that the devil had a scheme, and I do believe in a real devil. He had a scheme to go ahead and counterfeit. He's been doing that ever since. He does a good job at it. So just wanted to throw that nugget out there.
Okay.
You know, we really don't have much to fear. It's just if we trust God, we'll be all right. But I know your research is awesome, James, and you too, Lucas. One more quick question. What's the 40th parallel? How high above In North America, do you need to be above the 40th parallel?
Well, the 38th runs right through central Missouri, south central Missouri, where I am. So it would be 2 degrees above that.
Okay, so if you were in, let's say, well, I'm in North Carolina. Let's say I'm how far am I from that 40th? I'm down in, I'm in Charlotte.
I've got a map here. Yeah, it's quite a bit north of you. The 40th would be up around Richmond, Virginia, somewhere in there.
Well, it's not that. It's really not a far drive.
I'd be more concerned about coastline. The further away you are away from the ocean, probably the better.
Amen. Hey, I was going to say I'm about 200 and from. Well, if you got South Carolina, I'm about to roughly around 200 miles in. I've heard be around 200 miles in. To be safe, I've also saw the map that James, I think you said you got from a psychic when you were an investigator. Is that true? That map?
No. The map I've got came from the U.S. Navy. We started out using a map that came from a psychic, and then we modified it to conform with the Navy's map.
Now, I've seen an updated map, and it's really a good one. I think if you and Lucas would, I know you're very open-minded. Take a look at that guy named Henning. I think you've probably already seen him, Henning Kimner or something. I can email you.
Why don't you do that? We need to move on here. But the 40th parallel, I just looked on a map here, is actually quite a bit farther north. It's up around New York, Chicago area.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. There's some science out there saying anything below the 40th parallel is done. Is that true, or?
Well, that's not what the Navy says. The Navy says the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks is going to be safe, and that's well below the 40th. So.
Yeah, I know. But one more quick thing, John. Have you been having earthquakes? I watch earthquakes regularly, and I've seen there's been some fives out and throughout Arkansas. Is that affecting you guys?
No, it doesn't affect me where I am.
Good deal.
No, I have yet to feel the ground shake. I've never felt an earthquake in my life.
It's scary, I tell you.
It is strange when it happens.
You guys have a great night.
Okay.
Lucas, find the truth. I know you're digging deep, and I appreciate you guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
And we got a return call, a return appearance here from Tom in Georgia. Something to add. Go ahead, Tom.
I got some information just a few minutes ago. I got two things. One on the earthquake. The birds that died there in Arkansas. There's a crater of diamonds from an old kimberlite pipe from an ancient volcano in Murfreesboro, Arkansas.
Right.
And you add that to the over 2,000 earthquakes in 2 months between 1811 and 1812. Well, in Arkansas, that rang bells, I'm told, as far away as New York.
Right.
And it made the Mississippi flow backwards, shot sand blows up in the air,
right.
Hundreds
right.
of feet, toxic gas. Now, right. the 500-plus earthquakes around Guy, Arkansas, dead birds and dead fish, it's not looking good. Some people are saying now that I told a little while ago, told me, that they expect a very significant earthquake in that mid area fairly soon in the future.
I hope the sheriffs and the chiefs of police and fire chiefs around Guy, Arkansas, 50-mile radius, are paying heed.
Yep.
I have no doubt that the Arkansas preparedness people are very, very concerned because they've got scientists and access to scientists, and they should be getting ready down there for a major shake that will be very destructive.
Yep. The last thing I got, and I just heard what Howie, I think, said, with extreme evidence, the King James Bible is the perfect inerrant word of God. There is no other. Literally, NIV, NTSB, the New King James, they're all Jesuit, Masonic designed, specifically to pervert. I mean, I got the evidence. You know, I can send it to y'all.
I'd appreciate saying that, yeah.
Okay, do you have an email? I can do that.
Sure. It's my email address is jrliberty2001@yahoo.com.
Okay, jrliberty2001@AOL?
@yahoo.com.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye. And we got another call from Georgia. Today is the day we get calls from Georgia. Go ahead, Lee.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mr. Moore. Been a long time since I called your show. Lucas, I also have a copy of your presentation that you gave, and I was very, very impressed with it. But so impressed, by the way, that I have your website listed on my website. And I'm very particular who I give links to. But it was interesting in your presentation. You were able to successfully make the reference between the way they interpreted like meteors and things by using the reference of serpents and things like that, which goes along with the argument that I've tried to give people that a lot of not just the Bible, but in every culture throughout history, you can look to astrology for a lot of its origins. And one thing I was curious about, I remember seeing, I believe it was a picture as if you were looking at the from the backside of a comet. And I got to thinking during your presentation when you were showing the pictures on the wall inside Denver International, there was the one picture of the, what almost looked like a horned god. It was there was the baby and the flower coming up, and you might know which picture I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was interesting as I was watching that. I got to thinking about this picture that I'd seen of like looking at a comet from the backside, and it almost had like two horns. It almost looked like two lighted horns coming up from the side, and I was wondering if you see that as any connection possibly.
Oh yeah, most definitely. In fact, that's what I contend is that when comets, when we see them from the side view, they look like a serpent. They look like a tadpole, basically, or not a tadpole's not a serpent, but they look like, you know, a snake with a head and a tail. But when they're coming straight at you, the jets of hot gases coming off appear to give them horns and a tail. So I think that's where all the myths of dragons came from, was just people seeing shooting stars, comets, and asteroids, things like that.
That's what I was thinking. I was just wondering if maybe we're along the same lines there. But yeah, very interesting work. And anybody who hasn't checked out rabbithole2.com, man, you really should check this out. It's an awesome site. Thank you, brother, and I'm out of here.
Okay,
thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay, the calls just keep coming in here, and we've got Craig in Ontario. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, just had a comment, I guess, regarding the Bible. As an ex-Catholic, knew nothing about the Bible, so I'm starting to investigate it.
Right.
And the fella, Tom, who was just on, was talking about the King James. But I wonder, for the folks that go back and reference the Bible, what about the Geneva Bible that was done, I think, 1659, 1660? It has a lot of annotations in the side of it. And as well, the King James was sort of a politicized Bible where he assigned about 12 scholars to kind of, you know, cut and paste and put together what he wanted. And it might have had a political intent to it.
Right.
I just want to know what your opinions are about that.
Well, I know the language used in the King James was already antiquated when King James ordered it to be written. He wanted to give have the language sound old. So he used language like Old English that, quite frankly, was no longer being spoken at that point in time to try to give the appearance of the Bible being an old document. Lucas, jump right in here.
Well, and also a lot of words that I'd interpret correctly over into the new language. For instance, Jordan Maxwell pointed out to me that in the beginning it says, "In the beginning the earth was barren and destroyed." Okay, so that would tell you that it was destroyed from the last age of man, and then we'd started this current age of man when the Byzantine calendar started.
Right.
And so, you know, there's been a lot of interpretations of what it says, but, I mean, you kind of got to make your own Bible from the Dead Sea Scrolls, from the Book of Josephus, all that stuff. You put it all together and kind of make your own personal Bible.
Right. And the Dead Sea Scrolls is one of the critical things to all this. And I guess if you're really a serious scholar, you would learn to read Hebrew and learn to read Aramaic and Greek as well. That's where your real answers are going to lie, is being able to read the original source material without anybody else's coloring of it.
Right, so the Geneva Bible really has no sort of special meaning.
Well, I'm not going to comment on the veracity of the Geneva Bible one way or the other. Do you care to, Lucas?
No, like I said, I tend to think of more of this, the religious aspect is more of it historical. You know, this is, a lot of this stuff is written down, and it seems to fall right in line. They're finding evidence of Sodom and Gomorrah and things being turned to glass there. So, you know, there's all kind of things that are coming up now that, prove that there was some substantial, things that happen throughout the Bible that are provable now. So,
absolutely.
You know, what we didn't even talk about was what I called you about the other day, was they're actually building a full-scale model of Noah's Ark in Kentucky.
That's right.
Now. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Good timing for all that.
Okay. Craig, is that it for right now?
Yeah, that is. Thanks a lot.
Okay, we appreciate your call, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, Lucas, we're rapidly wrapping up this second hour here. The time seems to fly when we have you on the air. Tell us about what projects you got coming up for 2011, if you would.
Well, basically, I'm going to be working on trying to put this all together into something a little more coherent and changing around the website a little bit, getting it a little more user-friendly for people and not so labor intensive on myself. That's an important thing, is because I actually have to work 40 hours a week and all that to pay my bills. So
right. Well, with that, we got a break coming up. Everybody stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Got an inside corner on the truth, thanks to John Moore and the Republic Broadcasting Network. To talk to John Moore live on the air, call 1-800-313-9443.
We're back. We're just about to run out of time. We got a regular caller here. John from Florida, real quick.
The guys that wrote the Bible and everything, they were like, writing all this stuff out from this incredible written material, and yet at that same time they were writing that, they were drinking out of like lead-lined drink containers. They couldn't even tell you that lead was poisonous back then, and yet they're writing stuff from the Bible, from the Supreme Being. I don't get it, Maybe you could explain that to me. I got to go.
Okay. Well, there's not time right now, but the Bible is truth, and that's been proven many, many times. Listen to my archive from last week with Jonathan Gray, and you'll hear the scientific evidence about the truthfulness of the Bible and how it's mathematically perfect. Did you happen to hear my show last week, Lucas?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't.
It was a repeat. Apparently, we don't have time here. I don't want to. We'll be cut off, and I know it's just isn't time to give this topic the attention it deserves. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to my show from last week. If you want to hear the scientific evidence of the verifiable scientific evidence about the truthfulness of the Bible, it's right there with Jonathan Gray's book, which I've got the copy right here next to me, The Weapon the Globalist Fear, The Genesis Bombshell by Jonathan Gray. Okay, Lucas, I don't want to be cut off here at the last moment. Your website is, give it to us, please.
rabbithole2.com. That's rabbithole with the number 2 after it, .com.
And the title of your DVD is?
The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind.
All right. Thank you for your time, sir. Let's talk as the week progresses. We'll be tracking these matters, and we'll stay in touch, all right?
All right. Well, you take care, and everybody have a good new year.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Well, the music's going to start up here momentarily, ladies and gentlemen. I assure you, you doubting Thomases out there, that the Bible, the Holy Bible, is verifiably scientifically accurate, that the entity writing it is beyond any human intelligence, absolutely beyond any human intelligence. The problems with the Roman Empire and drinking wine from lead-lined vessels had nothing whatsoever to do with the men that wrote the Bible. And Jonathan Gray proves it in his book. I have not time now to even to begin to address this. Listen to the archive from last week and the week before. We played a repeat this past Sunday, a week ago today, and the show was aired live 2 weeks ago today with Jonathan Gray, the archaeologist. It's scientifically provable that the Bible could not be written by human beings. There have been attempts to recreate the mathematical precision that exists in the original Hebrew text. It can't be done. It simply can't be done. And it has to do with mathematics. It has to do with not being able to recreate the mathematical precision that's in the Bible, in the original Hebrew text. It simply cannot be done. That's it for this week. You'll have a safe and a prosperous and fun week. Buy lots of ammunition, and God bless America.